Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We didn't get into it too much, but the Astros won 2-1. Jose Siri homered off Bumgarner and then scored the winning run in the ninth inning of a tie game. Brian Abreu came in and gave up a home run to Walker. But it was a hard-fought, well-played, 2-1 baseball game that came down to, you know, basically Jose Siri, you know, taking care of business and winning the game for you. Jose Siri, and we've seen it before, his glove, he made a beautiful catch, running catch in the outfield, in the alley, that he ran down a ball that certainly would have been a lot of trouble. Luis Garcia was very happy. Luis Garcia just going four innings, throwing 71 pitches, but that was going to be it. Brian Abreu came in, and in his second inning of work, he gave up that solo shot. But that was it all night long. Man, the pitchers did a really, really nice job, and you get the win against Strami. Hey, Bumgarner is going to be good this year again. He's going to bounce back because of Strami. I don't think that there's any question about that. He looked good last night. He's tough. But Siri took him deep. Oh, man, did he hit that ball. Straight away center field, and he did not a little bat flip, but he did. He was Cadillacing it a little bit, and Bumgarner ain't having none of that. So Mike Lombardo, you know him, Lance. He is
not Michael Lombardi.
Matt Lombardo.
Yeah,
Matt Lombardo. He's a draft guy, right? He's Matt Lombardo NFL. Anyway, okay. On Twitter, Matt Lombardo NFL.
All right,
he has this to say. The buzz about Trayvon Walker going number one to the Jaguars is very real. Have heard from a GM and a couple of scouts who love his athleticism and think he's who Jacksonville is zeroing in on. Good thing or bad thing for our Houston Texans if Trayvon Walker goes first?
I don't think it really matters. I think Trayvon Walker will be a Texan if he gets to three. So Trayvon and I think Aiden Hutchinson will both be Texans if they get to three. Either one of them.
I don't think there's any chance the Lions pass on Hutchinson.
I don't either. I think it's 1-2 Walker Hutchinson. Although I will say this. I mentioned this on my podcast with Dane Brugler that comes out today. So I was told 3 weeks ago, and I brought it up on the show a while back, that Trayvon Walker was going to be the first pick to Jacksonville, because I heard from a pretty good source who said that that Trent Baalke views him as Alden Smith. Well, since I had that here.
Alden Smith without all the baggage, hopefully.
Right, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah.
Since that time, I have heard it from Field Yates, Mike Garofalo, and Pete Schrager. Those are three guys in the media who have all said the same thing. Now, we're either all getting it from the same place, or we're getting it from multiple places with the same. We're all mentioning Alden Smith, too. You know what I started thinking? Is this Jacksonville's way of figuring out, okay, who's the hottest name that we feel like we could entice number two? Because here's the thing. Keep this in mind. Number two, Jacksonville needs defensive end. Number three, Houston needs defensive end. Is there any chance that Jacksonville started this disinformation campaign? Because Dane swears that he knows that Jacksonville likes Aiden Hutchinson. Is there any chance, and you can like two players, and that's fine, but is there any chance that they try to say, who's the hot player? It's not going to be quarterback this year. Who can we get someone to move up? Are they trying to persuade two teams with additional draft capital? Okay, you got Detroit who has two first-round picks. Are you trying to persuade them to give you maybe a second-round pick to go from 2-1? Are you trying to persuade the Houston Texans to go 3-1? The Jets who need pass rusher from 4-1? Is that what you're doing with Trayvon Walker? You now are hearing it from so many players. Now, I got it from somebody who would not be part of a misinformation campaign. It wouldn't benefit him at all. But he could be leaked this. Like, he could be talking to Trent Baalke, and Baalke starts letting this drop a different. I mean, honestly, we see this guy as the next Alden Smith. Honestly, I'm starting to wonder if there is a misinformation campaign going on intentionally by Jacksonville. And now it could be, and they still draft Trayvon Walker. But what they could be doing is just making sure it gets out there in public to see if Houston or the Lions are willing to give them one extra pick.
Or sometimes front offices want to put their toes in the water, too, and see what's the reaction going to be by the fan base. What's the reaction going to be by the media?
When
they were going to fire Les Miles, they put it out there, hey, we're going to fire Les Miles. And the backlash, remember that? And he kept his job.
That's why you don't listen to the backlash.
You don't ever do that. But you still want to hear. I mean, because listen,
Rockets
can Jacksonville go wrong if they take Hutchinson?
I don't think so.
Can they go wrong if they take Walker?
Maybe.
Can they go wrong if they take Neal?
I don't think so.
I mean, they're all pretty solid picks.
They're all solid.
Why are you saying Walker?
Walker's because I don't have as good. Walker's tape isn't as good.
Yeah.
He didn't rush a passer great. Like, I don't see it the same way other people do. I think he's an elite run defender. I don't see it in a pass rush. So I had him as a second rounder at the beginning of the process. Then he tested well. I've got him in a first, but I don't have him as a top five player. I have Aiden Hutchinson number two, and I've got a 6.8 on him, which is a really good grade. I think he's a safe pickup. I'll tell you another time where that happened. Two other times. The Cleveland Browns, for some reason, they have first pick. They're trying to float it out there that Josh Allen was going to be the pick. And I don't know if they were testing the waters to see what people would say, because that was not a popular move.
Right.
Browns fans freaking out. Right. Browns fans hated, how could you take him
instead and now of look.
Sam,
look what happened.
Sam Darnold. Like, Sam is the pick. They wanted Sam Darnold. Then they got Baker Mayfield. Why were they putting Josh Allen out there? I don't know. You have the first pick. The Houston Rockets used the Houston Chronicle to leak that they might trade. And I know this from talking to somebody with the Rockets who was listening to our radio show that day. And we had lines full of people pissed off. I would say probably 75-25. The Rockets were thinking about trading Dream to Toronto, and they would have gotten a lottery pick, at least one lottery pick in return for him. And they floated it out there to Jonathan Fagan. He had an article about it. And they monitored our radio show in the morning to see what the fan reaction was, and it was not positive in general.
And they didn't end up doing it. It wasn't just because of the reaction on our show, but they wanted to see what the reaction would be.
So, yes, that does happen from time to time, and that was way back in the late 90s when we were early on in the show. But I think that I just wonder the same topics. Like, if we were just hearing Trayvon Walker, I still think it's going to be Trayvon Walker. But the fact that Alden Smith keeps getting mentioned by every single person, I'm starting to wonder either they're all copycat, somebody else said it, or they're getting it from different sources because Jacksonville is leaking it. And there is a chance that Jacksonville wants someone to want Trayvon Walker so they can get an additional pick, especially Detroit. If they hope and pray that Detroit will go from 2-1 to get their hands on Trayvon Walker, and they get the guy they want and get an extra second round pick or third round pick, why not?
Yep.
Why not try to fool them? So I'm gonna have something. I'm gonna start putting that out there a little bit as a caveat, because I want to make sure I'm on the record. Because I heard I was first to hear the Trayvon Walker stuff, and then I saw Maurice Jones-Drew had him first in his mock draft. I'm like, And that guy played in Jacksonville. So I called up MJD. I said, you know, don't you? He goes, what? I said, you've been told by somebody over there they're taking Trayvon Walker. He goes, no, it just makes sense. Trayvon Walker makes sense. So MJD and I were talking a little bit about this, And I don't think he got it from Jacksonville. He just thought it made sense from a physical standpoint. And, you know, there is a Mario Williams vibe to it where he was not the best player. Mm. Aiden Hutchinson was one of the best players. There's no Vince Young and Reggie Bush. There's just a Reggie Bush, for example, in this case, Aiden Hutchinson. And maybe Vince Young would be Evan Neal, but certainly not as flashy of the two guys. But here comes the guy out of nowhere with great traits who ends up being the first pick. There is that element. That could be happening here. To me, the Texans are in really good shape. I don't see the Texans trading out of three. I think it would be a mistake to do so. Daniel Jeremiah during the break yesterday.
I'm getting on that train as well.
Daniel Jeremiah yesterday during a break we were taping and he said, honestly, I could see the Texans taking Sauce Gardner. He goes, I don't think it's the favorite, but it would not be the dumbest move in the world. And they were talking about it because of what Lovie Smith said about cornerbacks. Yeah. And so they were just, he and Bucky Brooks were talking during a commercial about it. And Daniel said, I wouldn't have any problem with them taking Sauce.
Yeah.
They need cornerback. Sauce is the best in the league, best here. And then at 13, you can take either best available, pass rusher. But the way I look at it, I think I'd rather take care of a pass rusher and an offensive lineman with your first two picks.
All right, cleaning up the show, Scherzer, Arizona, and then went to Detroit. Forgot Detroit. Washington, L.A., and then New York. Tyler says, what about Shaq? He moved around a lot. Clemens.
The difference with Shaq is he had these little late in his career stays. Like, he's known as Orlando, and he did have Miami. I mean, he won a championship with Dwayne Wade. Yeah. I guess there's three primary stops for Shaq. But, like, Boston and Cleveland for Shaq? Gross.
No. Nolan Ryan? Randy Johnson?
Nolan Ryan was three, yeah.
No, Nolan Ryan was more than that.
No, Angels, Astros, and Rangers.
Mets? He won a title with the Mets.
That's right. Early Mets.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. So Nolan Ryan would be the one, I think, closest associated with LeBron. He was a superstar. I mean, that's a record holder.
He was the highest
no
paid
hitters,
guy for
one hitter, strikeouts.
First $1 million player?
First $1 million guy. That's the guy that most aligns with LeBron who went to multiple teams.
By the way, there's a doc or a movie coming out about Nolan. I think it's a documentary coming out about Nolan Ryan, and it's going to be released.
It's called I'll Split Your Wig. It's actually the name of it.
No, I don't think that's the name of it.
Should be a working title.
No, I don't think that's the name of it. As a matter of fact, it comes out in May, and it's Facing Nolan is the name of it. And it's a documentary, and it's going to debut at the Marquee Theater. And I'll be there. It's 811 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. So cleaning that stuff up. On the other side, Ryan, we'll get your Texans draft question. We will get that for you. And we still got other stuff that we have not gotten to yet here on the show, including a standing ovation in Philadelphia. We will tell you what, and it's the most unlikely standing ovation ever in the city of Philadelphia. We'll tell you why. But right now, I'm going to talk about Errol Spence Jr. and your Dennis Ugas, because they are going to be fighting in a three-belt title unification on Saturday, April 16th. That's this Saturday. It's on Showtime pay-per-view, but you can also go there and see it because it's in Arlington. If you're a big fight fan, it's going to be at AT&T Stadium. That's how big this is. Now, the welterweight division has been huge. We're talking about some of the biggest fights ever. Sugar Ray against Thomas Hearns. Floyd Mayweather against Manny Pacquiao. It's scheduled for 12 rounds, weight limit of 147 pounds. Spence is 27-0 with 21 knockouts. He is great. Ugas is 27-4 with 12 knockouts. This is going to be a huge, huge fight. And the co-main event is Isaac Pitbull Cruz against Uriorkis Gamboa. And that is going to be, and they've got other fights on there as well. And it's going to be a big, big night. And you can go. It's all at AT&T Stadium. It's in Arlington, Texas. You can go to SeatGeek.com or just go to Showtime Pay-Per-View. If you can't get there, that's all right. You can watch it on Showtime Pay-Per-View. It's this Saturday night, Spence versus Ugas on Showtime Pay-Per-View.
ESPN 97.5. Are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. Damn it. Did you see last night? Our Space Cowboys lost 7-6 in their home opener. Round Rock jumped out 7-1, and they fought back to make it 7-6, but couldn't get
that boulder up.
Couldn't
the hill.
Get that
you
tie and run.
You can't get it quite.
You see
over
how
the
they do it? Do you see their schedule? How they do it now in the minors?
How do they do it?
They play six straight games against the team.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
They were doing that in independent league too. It cuts down on travel costs.
Yeah, absolutely does. And if I, you know, if it was smart, you would buy now. Right across from Constellation Field, you got those apartments there. I think they have a piece of those.
I'd hope so.
And I think they
that'd
put,
be baller to just walk to work.
Or
like
if
that.
I was a minor league team, I'd buy a hotel right across the street, and that's where I'd the opposing team stays, and they pay you. And
I'd build one.
Yeah,
I'd keep it in season. I'd keep it free from bookings, and out of season, I'd book it.
Right, right,
sure.
So anyway, they lost game one. They're off to a rough start. They've got two wins so far. They're 2-5, but they play Round Rock again tonight and all the way through the weekend, and you can listen to all those games on 92.5, ESPN 92.5.
I know you're an ally of several things, John.
I am an ally.
Many, many things. The animal rights community took an L yesterday when a lady tried to run out on the court of the playing game between the Clippers and the Minnesota Timberwolves and glue her hand. She had glue all over her hand and tried to super glue herself to the floor. She ran onto
the floor. All that's going to do is leave a lot of skin everywhere.
Well, that's what they did. They just yanked her right up, said, here we go.
Yep.
We'll take you off, probably before it could even
what a dumbass.
Become adhesive. And they pulled her off. She had a T-shirt on, and they pulled her off the floor and then had to, they had a little bit of a pain in the butt trying to get the floor cleaned up.
Yeah.
Honestly.
All that glue?
It took a little while trying to get the floor, so
that's
she probably lost an entire level of skin off of her hand. For what? For who?
Yeah, for a dog.
I mean, there's probably
for
better
dogs,
ways to do
cats.
It than getting in the middle of a Clippers
Snakes.
Game.
Yeah.
You're lucky Pat Beverly didn't come over and give you the what for.
Pat Beverly gave...
And Scott Foster was there, too.
Yeah.
Scott Foster could have hit her with one of these.
Ooh, Scott.
Teed her up.
Yeah, Scott Foster would have. No, Scott Foster, you don't want
does
him
Scott
ever.
Scott Foster do finger tees? What about these technicals?
Ooh, does Scott Foster
RJ,
have
do you like these tees?
Does Scott
where they give you the, like, I'm old school hand tee,
that is
but sometimes
tee.
You get this. There's some officials that will give you the small finger tee.
Oh, you just won't even get it there.
That's when they do this.
Did
come
you
from
see,
the shoulder.
Yeah. By the way, did you happen to see the Little League video of the umpire throwing out a coach during the game and the coach just waylaying the umpire?
I think I did see that, although I thought that was an old video.
No, I just saw it. It was just being
make sure it wasn't old, but yeah, I saw something a couple days ago.
Yeah,
was that it?
Yeah, holy
and
crap.
The ump was now, but it didn't. It wasn't. It didn't end up in a full scale brawl, right?
No. The ump was just on the ground. No,
a different one where the ump was trying to like
no the
go
ump,
back
the,
up.
This
on
guy
it.
Comes out. The ump is and he says something. The ump throws him out of the game, and dude just knocks him out. Knocks him out, and the umpire went to the hospital. And actually, I've got it in News of the Weird. It's in my News of the Weird notes. But that's not weird. That's really not that weird. A little league coach knocking out an umpire. It seems like it happens all the time now. Let's get Ryan in here. He's got a draft question. What do you say, Ryan?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Happy Wednesday.
You too.
Quick question. I actually got a 2-part question for Lance in regards to the draft. And the first question is, if the Texans at 13 went wide receiver, would that be completely insane if they went, you know, Neal with the third pick, 13th, they got a London or an Olave, and second round got a running back? That's kind of a pretty nice starting point for an offense. And my second question is, with the tragic news of Dwayne Haskins, does that totally change the Steelers draft board? And it's pretty much confirmed they got to get a quarterback now.
I feel like it doesn't. I think they still have Josh Dobbs there. You can pick up, but you can find a backup quarterback. Although I've got the Steelers taking Kenny Pickett anyway. Regardless, I had Pickett going 20 to the Steelers. I thought about wide receiver for the Texans. I gave them Evan Neal at 3, and I thought about, wide receiver for the Texans, and then ultimately, I just decided, you know what. I felt like Devontae Wyatt or Devin Lloyd
were, I don't think it's a great inside linebacker draft or linebacker draft in general. So I felt like, why not take one of the best linebackers on the board or take a three technique that's really a perfect fit for who can play all three downs for Lovie Smith. I ended up going with Devontae Wyatt, who reminded me a little bit of Tommy Harris, but who Lovie had in Chicago. So I went defense. I went offensive line and defense. Lovie wants to build the trenches. That's what he does and who he is. But I thought about wide receiver. I thought about potentially adding. Ultimately, it was Chris Olave is a little too much like Brandon Cooks. Neither one of them are physical. You do have a physical possession receiver, though, in Nico Collins. So you've got that. And you can go smaller and faster with Chris Olave. He's just a finesse receiver. And I thought there's more value in the trenches in the front seven than I don't think it's crazy. I just don't think they would go wide receiver there. And I did consider it. And if they traded back, maybe they consider wide receiver based on how the board shakes out. I could see them looking at wide receiver at the first pick of the second round. I could see them looking at wide receiver in the middle rounds. I think they'll draft a wide receiver at some point. I think they should draft an inside linebacker if they can get their hands on one. I'm not a Christian Kirksey guy. I just think he's just a fill-in guy.
Yeah.
If you can get better there. But remember, I do think the trenches are going to be – pass rush is going to be Lovie's number one thing. And he's already told you he wants to get cornerbacks, that he wants to get better cornerbacks. So one of the best ways you can help your coverage is to get a pass rusher. But I don't think it's – I think it's a smart move to get a third receiving target. Now, if you thought Brevin Jordan was ready to take the step into being a high target tight end, well, then you can make the argument Nico Collins, Brevin Jordan, and Brandon Cooks. You might say, okay, well, we're not looking wide receiver until like the fourth round. So maybe the Texans could look at Brevin Jordan like that. My guess is they're not going to look at Brevin Jordan as a high target tight end at this stage of his career. When I say high target, like 60-plus targets at tight end. I don't think that's who Brevin Jordan's going to be right now. So I could see him drafting wide receiver. I just don't think it's going to happen in the first round.
713-780-3776. You got any thoughts for Lance? You're more than welcome to get in here. 713-780-3776 is the number to hang out with us here on the show. I told you earlier, there was a standing ovation. Alec Baum is someone you don't know. He's the Phillies third baseman. And not last night, but the night before, he had three errors in the Phillies win. Now, the Phillies went on to win. He actually had a walk that started a rally for the Phillies to win. As he's walking by Didi Gregorius, their shortstop, he says to him, to Didi, I hate this effing place.
It's not easy. You got to read lips, but you can tell that's what he says.
Right.
But it's very sly, but somebody caught it and rolled with it.
Oh, and then it became, it became very well known in Philadelphia. He had three errors, and you know that the crowd was riding him hard. And it was all early in the game. I think it was three errors in the first three or four innings of the game. He couldn't catch anything, couldn't do anything right. So he's and it picked it up on the broadcast. I hate this effing place. Well, he doesn't start last night.
Right.
But he comes up and he pinch hits, and here is him walking up to the plate.
Number 28, Alec Baum.
We never gonna die.
I just want you to know.
Can you imagine in Philadelphia, I hate this effing place, walking up, and they gave him, a lot of fans gave him a standing ovation. He apologized for saying it. He said, I didn't mean it. I was having a rough night. I don't hate this place, blah, 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 blah.
He said siblings. No, what he said
it's like
was
siblings.
Also, he said, it's a lot like siblings. You fight, but at the end of the day, no, they're not your, let me tell you what they are. They are your stepbrothers. They're not blood. At any point, if your agent and ownership divorce and you are no longer with them, they won't think about you, like you. They won't send credit cards. They won't send, pictures to you. They won't like your posts.
No.
Philadelphia is your stepbrother, and they don't particularly care for you that you're coming into their bedroom. And, yeah, they'll cheer for you because Philly fans are kind of weird and awesome at the same time. The fact that they'll give him a standing ovation was pretty cool, I thought. I think some of it, for some people, it was about, you know, showing they still got his back. And for some people, it was still derisive. probably a leftover, like, hey, look at us. You told us to go F ourselves and you hate it here. Yay. Too bad. But you know what? All I could think of was James. James at some point is going to say, I effing hate this place to Joel Embiid. Like, at some point, if James plays in the playoffs like we know he's capable, he's going to have that same moment.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's I effing hate this place, not I hate this effing place. It was an adverb as opposed to an adjective, whatever the case may be. But that they gave him a standing ovation to someone who, you know, ripped the place and, you know, well, he was having a rough night. But that's never, I don't remember that ever in Philadelphia. They booed Mike Schmidt. They threw snowballs at Santa Claus. They are the worst fans ever. If you're not winning, they're the worst people in the world.
Philly fans love their
the reputation.
They love their reputation.
Yeah, they love it.
They love
so
who they
go out of their way to make it even worse.
It's always sunny. I feel like it does give you a vibe for the people. I'm sorry. I know it's a TV show, but you feel like they really hone in on who Philadelphians are. I had a friend of mine named Matt Kissinger, who I saw him again for, I hadn't seen him for probably two decades. I saw him at Uncle Freddie's birthday party. And I introduced you to Kissy. He lives in Iowa somehow.
He was a waiter with you.
Yeah, he was a waiter back in the Papado. He had moved from Philadelphia. And so he was an older waiter. Like, he was 26 or 27 at the time. And he was going to University of Houston getting a degree. And he would tell stories like, man, you know, I used to I think I had him tell you this story. He would tell us how the unions, how they ran everything. And one guy, they couldn't get this guy to vote the way they wanted to, the guys at the union. And Kissy said he was like a 21-year-old kid working construction, right? He's on this construction site. He's a young guy. And they said, hey, Bob, let me ask you a question. Who's going to be looking after your family when you're out of town? You're going out of town soon, right? Who's going to be looking after family? It's going to be us, the union guys. We'll be taking care of everything. If anything were to happen to you, God forbid, who would look after them? Us. Don't forget that. We're your brothers. And Kissy realized at that time, everyone knew
that meant
it was a sneaky threat to make sure the vote. And he's like, God, I couldn't. He said, it's too much. He said, Philadelphia. He said, we were driving along. It just, the guys in the car, we were just driving. And the guy was, I was in the back seat. And there were some Giants fans walking up to the stadium there in Philadelphia. And he said, the guy slammed the car in park. And he goes, let's go. And he's like, what are we doing? They jumped out, started fighting the guys from the Giants. He's like, all of a sudden, he goes, Kerwin, all of a sudden, I'm going to fight with Giants fans. I don't want to fight those guys. I had no problem with them. But he goes, that's just how we had to do it, I guess, in Philadelphia. He goes, trust me, I wasn't sad to move down here. And now he lives in Iowa. He was a Philadelphia guy who had enough out of Philadelphia.
Can't be any more opposite. All right, QC Kinetics. And then when we come back, we've got more draft talk. Lance is going to go deeper into the draft. Have you put out your mock?
Yeah, I put it out yesterday.
Okay, so we got to look at the comments.
Yeah, I put it out yesterday. You can take a look at the comments if you want. Patriots fans are really not happy with me for giving them an Aggie.
All right.
I gave them Kenyon Green. They're mad at me.
We'll talk about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I'll tell you who you should be mad at. You should be very, very mad at your knee or your hip or your ankle, wherever you have issues where you have pain that simply won't go away. And I'm telling you right now, with QC Kinetics, they've got new therapies. They're advanced, all-natural, regenerative treatments. And you're saying, all-natural. No, listen to me. These are regenerative treatments. I've done the research on this. I've done the research on QC Kinetics. We're taking my wife in. to start treatments after she's done with the Boston Marathon. I only wish I could have found them earlier because she's got bone-on-bone knee issues. And if you have knee issues, the osteoarthritis, you have shoulder, you have back, you have hip issues, they can get you taken care of with regenerative treatments that are not only – they not only give you brief relief, they can restore and repair damaged tissue for long-lasting results. You don't have to get steroid shots. You don't have to have surgery. If you want to find out how you can eliminate that joint pain due to arthritis, knee pain, hip pain, shoulder pain, and you don't want to go through the old ways of dealing with these pains, why don't you check out the new biological therapy solutions? You can call my friends at QC Kinetics right now to set up your free consultation, 713-913-5285. These remarkable new treatments increase mobility, they decrease pain, they help restore tissue, they actually encourage your body to heal itself. It's incredible. I highly recommend you check them out and call the professionals at QC Kinetics. It's a revolutionary alternative to surgery or to steroid shots. 713-913-5285.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. One of them owes me $20, but I'll let you guess which one.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Pete Prisco is going to be joining us in this segment in about 4 minutes here. We'll talk NFL with Pete Prisco right here on the show. I want to mention that Damaris, my peeps over there, if you have not tried the fajita Greek salad, it's something you need to try. I like the beef fajita Greek salad. It's unbelievable. It tastes like steak on your – it's so good. And then you can do chicken. But if you want to eat – all right. If you want to eat healthy, whatever, you can do the chicken or you can do turkey as well. So, but the Greek salad is as good a Greek salad as you're going to find. So get to Damaris Barbecue, either of the locations.
Disrespecting Greek wings today, I see.
No, I just can't talk about them every time. I love the Greek wings. What, are you crazy? Of course, that's
what I eat
every time.
We went that one time, French fries and Greek wings. Yeah. Greek wings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I do. Let's get Ben in here. He wants to talk about the Lions draft, but everybody's talking about the Lions draft right now. What up, Ben?
What's up, guys? Hey, yesterday you said that you wouldn't trade with the Lions at the 13th pick because you don't want their future first-round pick. I was wondering why, because you guys didn't join debt, but like, wouldn't the Lions suck? And then that's basically a top
no,
five.
I don't think that. I don't think the Texans would trade back to 32. That's it. It's not about a future. They'd have three first-round picks next year, the Texans, which, you know, you'd think would be great, although most teams don't like having three first because you have three guys come up all at the same time contract-wise. They can smash your cap. But it's really just a matter of – honestly, it's a matter of I don't see the Texans trading back to 32. There's just too many. I think the Texans would trade back from 13 to maybe as far back as the Steelers at 20. But they may not trade back any further than, honestly, they may not trade back any further than one of the Eagles spots or one of the Saints spots, maybe the 18th pick. I think the Texans want to get players. They want to get good players. It's not just about collecting draft picks. They want some players out of this draft. So, I don't think they'd go to 32 because the level of player at 32 is way different than the level of player at 13 through 16. So I don't see the Texans. I can see him trading back. I just can't see him trading back 19 spots. That's too much.
Yeah, no.
That's too much. Not 19. Well, yeah, 19. Yeah,
19 spots.
I don't see him doing that.
Well, but, hey, man, you get the Lions first round pick next year? That could be really, really big. You could have two way up there.
So I think you would get the Lions first-round pick next year. The trade chart says you get the Lions second-round pick this year, which is pick number 34. That's what the trade chart says. I just don't think that's accurate because – and remember, the trade chart's not locked in, set in stone. It really depends on who you're trading up for, what the value of the pick is, all that stuff.
I'll move back 30. No, hell no, I ain't doing that.
That's what I'm saying.
19
the
spots?
Trade chart said the second pick. So basically, you get the 32nd pick and the 34th pick.
for the 13th pick. I just don't feel like that's enough.
No, it's not enough.
It just doesn't feel like I'll enough.
I'll take
based
the number
the
one next year, though. I would do that. I would do that.
I would consider it, but I do think the Texans want, they feel like there's good talent at 13. I'll just say that. So,
yeah, but there's going to be really good talent at the Lions' number one pick next year. And your with your pick and their pick, you can't miss next year. Two top five picks. Will the Texans be a top five? Have a top five pick next year in the draft?
If you made it a prop bet, will the Texans finish in the top five? The bottom five, the bottom seven, the bottom ten. I'd be willing to make the Texans.
The favorite would be bottom five.
Yeah, probably -140. Bottom five -140. -3 would be probably pick 'em. Probably pick 'em for the Texans. Because teams come out of nowhere to be really, really bad. But I'd say the Texans would be a pick 'em to be in the bottom three. They'd probably be at -140 to be bottom five.
Look at this year. They didn't come out of nowhere. It's Jacksonville, the Lions, and the Texans. Pretty much what that's the chalk.
By the way, you see we're watching ESPN right now. The Rock is on, and I think that's his partner,
yeah,
Danny Garcia.
Right.
Is that his former wife or just partner?
I don't know what that is.
Anyway, do you see the X and the XFL? Did you see the controversy over that?
No.
You saw the logo, right? The X?
Yeah.
Where it doesn't connect? Apparently, that's the same. There's similarities to Sue Bird's logo, and Megan Rapinoe is not happy that they basically stole. She said, oh, they're getting ready to catch a cease and desist. So,
all right. Well, Pete Prisco is all with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, and we're talking some NFL with him. CBS Sports Pete Prisco joining us once again here on the show. Pete, welcome back. How are you?
Good. What's up, guys?
We are doing wonderfully. What are the odds? Give me the odds. Daniel Snyder is the owner of the Washington Commanders in 2024.
Not good. They're decreasing by the day. But remember, it takes a lot to get an owner, you know, out of the NFL. And so we'll see how it plays out. But I can say from everything that's coming out now and everything you hear, it does not look good for Daniel Snyder.
Is there anything you can do worse than ripping off the other owners?
Well, fixing games, which is why that situation in Miami is such an interesting situation to watch as well. So, yeah, you know, integrity of the game and money, despite what they might say, are the two most important things for these guys.
Isn't it funny that teams and fans openly call for tanking? Fans legitimately get upset when their team wins games. A bad team wins a game late in the season because it, quote-unquote, costs draft positioning. And yet now there's this thing about, wait a minute, is somebody trying to not win games? Like, y'all are kidding, right? This happens all the time. We see it plenty in basketball, and we have seen fans openly cheer for their teams to lose games. So I think that's something that really maybe this Brian Flores lawsuit will put a new focus in sports on trying to be more competitive on the low end.
It's hard to lose in the NFL. I mean, it's hard to tank in the NFL because, I mean, other than, you know, messing with the roster and drafting the wrong guys, how are you tanking? You know, you're sitting star players? I don't get it. Remember the whole thing, tanking for Tua. How'd that work out for him? I mean, you got to be careful what you want when you're a fan, too, because sometimes the tanking doesn't actually work.
No, that's exactly right. What does it take to get rid of an owner in the NFL? You said it takes a lot. What does it take? What's the process look like?
Well, they got to get voted out by the other owners. And so that's where it becomes, you know, a tough process because everybody who does the voting to get them out will be maybe one day be that guy looking in the mirror himself and facing that. So you got to be careful for what you wish for. But when the, you know, indiscretions and everything else get to the point where it's too much, then I can see where they could do it. So, yeah, I think it's definitely possible. You know, it's going to be tough to get them out, but I think it's possible.
Pete Prisco with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Man, the AFC just is loaded, loaded, loaded. Matt Ryan, are the Colts, they're that close to the playoffs with Carson Wentz, does Matt Ryan put them over the top?
I think Matt Ryan's a good quarterback still. I might be in the minority on that. I think he's taken a beating the last 4 years, been sacked 40-plus times in each of the last 4 years. He's had a bad offensive line. Even though they've used a ton of draft capital in Atlanta to fix it, it's just been bad. And I think going to the Colts with a good offensive line, although they do need to address the left tackle spot, but the offensive line in front of them will be much better. They need to get faster, which I think they can do in this draft. But I think Matt Ryan's an upgrade from Carson Wentz will be a good signing for the Indianapolis Colts.
For in terms of the Colts, they're here in the division. Do you see the Colts leaning more heavily on Matt Ryan to throw the football and elevate the passing game, or do you see them still as a run heavy team who just hopes Matt Ryan screws it up less than Carson Wentz?
Well, I think they'll be much more aggressive with Matt Ryan. He's a better quarterback than Carson Wentz. And in fact, I would say that Matt Ryan is now the best quarterback right now, as we speak, the best quarterback in the division. And you know, Tannehill's got some issues and people in, you know, Tennessee want to replace him, all the fans do. Again, be careful what you wish for. I'm a big believer in Trevor Lawrence, and I'm one of the few people that actually was a big believer in Davis Mills when he came out. I think Davis Mills has talent, and I think there's a chance that he develops into a quality starting quarterback in the National Football League.
Pete Prisco joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If I said that the Raiders are going to win the West, is that crazy?
Yes. But, again, we've seen weird things happen. They were a playoff team last year. They got a better coach, I think, now than what John Gruden was, and Josh McDaniels, who will be a much better coach the second time around. I think he's been humbled and his ego's taken a beating, and he will be a different coach this time for the Raiders. I think getting Davante Adams elevates the offense clearly, but they still have some issues. I mean, the offensive line has to be addressed. That was a problem last year. And defensively, they have some issues as well. But, yeah, they'll be in the mix. I mean, that's a great division, top to bottom. It's the best football. We know that. I always call it the SEC of the NFL now. And so week in, week out, you're going to have wars. And you better be able to defend the pass in that division because everybody can throw it.
Are the Chiefs going to fall off?
No. As long as Patrick Mahomes is slinging the ball around, they're not falling off. And, yes, you know, losing Tyreek Hill hurts, but they can come back in this draft and get a speed element in the first round with one of their picks. They can also get a speed element later on. They did add Valdez-Scantling, who I think is an underrated receiver. He's probably going to show off with Patrick Mahomes. They're going to adjust the offense. I think they were too pass-heavy. They got to be more balanced. No, they're not going to fall off. It's still the Chiefs in the division. With the Chargers 2, the Broncos 3, and I think the Raiders 4, but it wouldn't shock me to see anything happen in that division.
Pete, it's kind of a rare season, it feels like. You've got Philadelphia, New York Giants, New York Jets, Houston Texans, Kansas City, and Detroit Lions, all with multiple picks in the first round.
You forgot Green Bay.
Green Bay. I don't remember ever seeing this many teams with multiple picks in a single draft. Do you see that making the draft more likely for movement in the first round, or actually less likely for movement because teams they already have enough draft capital to get more than one player that they may be targeting?
You might see guys actually move out of this first round, and because next year, you know, the perception is next year's draft class is much better, particularly from a quarterback standpoint. So you might see some teams, jockeying around to get out, get extra picks, and move out of there. So. I do think that there's a team that likes a quarterback. And, you know, the Saints have the two picks now, and what are they moving for? Somebody said, oh, they want to get a tackle in a corner or whatever. No, I think they have an eye on a quarterback, and whether they go up to get one or stay there and get one, who knows. But I think they have an eye on a quarterback. I think that's the issue. And the problem is there's so many quarterback-needy teams, and there aren't very many good quarterbacks in this draft. If Davis Mills were in this draft right now, he might be the first quarterback taken. In fact, for me, he would be the first quarterback taken. That's how I perceive this quarterback class. I don't love it. I know people love Willis. I don't. But I think that when you have a quarterback class that's not very good, it leads to instability, which could lead to a lot of action on day one.
So the Texans should... I mean, it looks like the Texans are going to stay away from quarterback, especially early on, Pete. A smart move?
Absolutely. Which one of these guys is going to – I don't see one right now that would be better that I would take ahead of Davis Mills. I just don't – and again, I'm not saying anything based on what he did last year. I'm saying it based on what I felt about Davis Mills coming into the draft last year. I thought he would be a better player than people would give him credit for. I think he's going to end up being better than two of the guys that were taken ahead of him, and I still believe that. I think Davis Mills has the tools to be an NFL starting quarterback and do it at a high level. Is he going to be a superstar? Probably not. but I think he can be a good quality NFL starting quarterback. So, yeah, no. Look, Malik Willis, I don't understand what people see in his game other than the fact he has a huge arm. I mean, he holds the ball. He doesn't play quarterback. There's nothing in his game that shows you he played quarterback at Liberty. In what he did, he'd take the snap, he'd look at one guy, and then try and get out of there after holding the ball for 3.5 seconds. So I don't get that one. Ryan Pickett is the most NFL-ready, but he has limitations. Of all those guys, I think Ritter has a chance, and he doesn't have a great arm. So the Texans, if they're looking for a quarterback, which they, you know, people want him to be, I would stick with Davis Mills and see how it plays out.
They're not drafting quarterback, but you made a point about, so I always hear, Pete, and you've been around doing this for a while, trust the tape. Well, trust the tape unless you're talking Malik Willis, because tape's not good. And I think that's the concern is the flashes are great. Do you grade the flashes? Because I thought some of the tape on Justin Herbert was very, very inconsistent. But he's become a player who plays to his flashes once he was surrounded with better, frankly, better wide receivers and a little different offense. Malik Willis, I'm trying to ask myself the same question. If you surround him with a better offensive line, a different offense, because I didn't love what Hugh did for him. I think he's more of a levels, you know, West Coast quarterback. To me, I think he'd be better in that where you limit the reads and you have him throw to space. I'm trying to figure out if I grade the flashes on Malik Willis or not. But one thing's for sure, on tape, none of these quarterbacks for me is a top 10 quarterback. But people say quarterbacks get pushed up. I don't know. I'm not buying it this year.
Yeah, look, they will. And, in fact, I talked to a guy in the league yesterday who insisted that two of them are going in the top 10, 6 and 8, and you know, Atlanta and Carolina. And if you don't solve it, you got to keep taking swings at it. And I think teams realize that. Everybody say, you can wait till next year. Can you? I mean, everybody talks about Bryce Young. He's 5'10", 175, 185 pounds. You know, if C.J. Stroud's a good-looking player, there's some other guy, I think the Levis kid at Kentucky's a good-looking player, Van Dyke, if he comes out of Miami. But, you know, if you keep waiting, are you ever going to solve it? And so I think you got to take your swings at some point, which is why I think these guys are going to get overdrafted. Yes, I get it. I understand. I'm with you. I wouldn't take any of them in the top 10. In fact, I've had a hard time thinking I would take them in the top 20, 25. That's what I think about this quarterback class. The guy I actually did like early in the process and later found out that the knee is that bad. It's Carson Strong can sling the football, but that knee, you know,
it's
a
mess. The knee is a mess. I had to drop him to like the fifth round, but he had some early tape that was really, like, his arm talent and touch was really, really impressive, but he can't move. They say it's like watching Phillip Rivers move around the pocket right now, but in college at Nevada. That was accurate. When you watch his tape, like, he's had two what are the surgeries again that you have where you drill the hole? But he's had
a microfracture.
Microfracture. He's had like two microfracture surgeries on one knee, and one of them happened when he was in high school, which can damage, you know, growth plates, or it can have an impact on your long term viability. And they just say he may play in the league 6 years. That he just has that kind of issue. Pete Prisco is our guest right now from CBS Sports. Pete, the Jacksonville Jaguars, I brought this up on the show and I brought it up on Twitter just a second ago, just a few minutes ago. Everywhere I turn, well, not everywhere I turn, I had an agent tell me, plug in Trayvon Walker, he's going to go first. I was told that at least 3 weeks ago, and he mentioned Aldon Smith. Then all of a sudden on TV, Field Yates is saying it, and I see Pete Schrager saying it the other day, and I see Mike Garofalo saying it, and I start thinking, now, wait a minute, is Jacksonville just trying to throw that out there to as many places as they can so that they see if they can entice Detroit or Houston or even the Jets to bounce into that one spot and they pick up an extra draft pick?
Well, I mean, that could be in play as well, but you also got to keep an eye on this. You know, they got the tag on Cam Robinson, and they're trying to work out a long-term deal with Cam Robinson. If they don't, they don't have a ton of cap room anymore. And that's a big hit on your cap for a guy that, A, there's concerns whether he'd be motivated to play on the franchise tag again if you don't get a long-term deal done. So I think the possibility is this as well. You take, you know, if you don't get a deal done with him, you draft Evan Neal and you take the tag off of him, or you trade him to a team that wants to get a left tackle and move from there. So that whole thing hasn't been played out very well in the national media at all. There's still the possibility that they don't get a long-term deal done with Cam Robinson, and then they decide, okay, well, we'll either trade him or take the tag off him and draft Evan Neal. That's a possibility. The Walker stuff is interesting because all the stuff that I heard leading up was it was Hutchinson or Neal, which, you know, Walker is an imposing player, but there wasn't a ton of production there. And everybody keeps saying, well, here he is at Georgia and all those great players. That's true, but if you're a great player yourself, you show up a little bit more than he did, I think. So I don't know. I'd lean more toward that's people putting two and two together with Balky, who drafted Alden Smith. And likes to try and get traits over production, maybe. But I don't know if that's necessarily true. It could be. I mean, look, I think three guys are in play there, or actually four. I think Okwuanu's in play. I think Neal's in play. Hutchinson and Walker. I think those are the four guys.
I've never bought in that because you signed Cam Robinson to a 1 year, you know, deal with the franchise tag. I never bought into the fact that, well, you can't possibly, and they added Brandon Scherff, can't possibly draft offensive line now. I'm like, what? No, you 100% can draft Taylor. John Taylor's at the right tackle spot. You can't possibly draft a tackle now. No, you 100% can draft Okwuanu or Neal because they can both play guard and then kick to tackle the next year.
And
so I've never bought into that either.
We've seen that before, by the way. I mean, you know, people forget Jonathan Ogden played left guard his first year in the league because they had two tackles.
Laramie Tunsil did too.
And here's the thing about them. Okay, they drafted Walker Little last year. Walker Little actually played well down the stretch, so he's got a chance to be a left tackle as well. Juwan Taylor was terrible last year at right tackle. Terrible. And he's been terrible the last 2 years. They need to replace him. So if you drafted Neal, you'd go to camp and you'd have, say you had the four tackles. Well, Scherff is going to start somewhere. The center will be Shatley. So then you got three spots for the four guys if you go to camp with all of them. But I think what they would do in that scenario is they take the tag off of or trade Cam Robinson.
That's Pete Prisco, CBS Sports, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Great talking some NFL with you, Pete. We appreciate your time.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. 8:56, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Still ahead, Roosh Williams is going to join us to talk about Jalen Green and not making first team all rookie. What?
Doesn't make any sense.
That's us. It's
we'll hear from Jalen Green coming up next. We'll hear from the man himself.
We'll hear from
what
him.
He thought about it.
We'll do that.
You know, he was player of the month in March and April.
And
back-to-back months, and he can't get...
Stop. Please. Because Bill Simmons
all
says,
because of the trash cans with the Astros.
No, Bill,
we're all being
Bill
punished.
Simmons says because the Rockets didn't win enough. Since when does that play in Rookie of the Year?
Come on, Bill.
Be
better. Do better, Bill. Be better.
Listen, I want to. If you're not better, if you're having some problems right now, and listen, it happens. Criminal defense. If you've got a drug accusation, a DWI, assault. A family violence, some kind of a theft or fraud, sex crime, whatever it is that you've been accused of, and guilty or not guilty, you need representation and get great representation from the Morley Law Firm. MorleyLaw.com, MorLey.com, MorleyLaw.com. These guys handle just about what looks like just about everything. Personal injury as well, auto accident, 18-wheeler, wrongful death, asbestos, medical malpractice. What is it? You need advice. You need a lawyer. You need somebody on your side. You need somebody that can help you. The Morley Law Firm is here for you. They handle just about immigration cases, okay? Se habla español. If you have someone that you know, chances are you know someone that's not from this country and is quite possibly having visa issues. Well, but the Morley Law Firm is here for you. MorleyLaw.com. MorLey, MorleyLaw.com. Give them a call or go to the website. If you're looking for help, whatever the case may be, 713-839-9955. 713-839-9955.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.